the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, and as I call it, the Polish-Lithuanian Republic, really came out of and developed out of a political union. A political union between the Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, which was forged in 1386, when the pagan Grand Duke of Lithuania, Jogaila, swore an oath in 1385, the year before, in a separate act. He swore that if he converted to Roman Catholicism and converted his brothers, his pagan brothers, he had some Orthodox brothers, Eastern Orthodox brothers, but if he and his pagan brothers converted to Roman Catholicism and converted the pagan Lithuanians to Roman Catholicism, he would be elected King of Poland and would marry the young Queen of Poland. She was roughly 12 years old. He was about 44. And he would become, they would become joint rulers of the Kingdom of Poland. He did that. Jadwiga, his wife, died in childbirth in 1399. The child didn't survive. And Jogaila, who became known in when he became baptized as Władysław II, or Władysław Jagiełło, he's usually called Jagiełło in Polish, he survived until 1434, a long reign. He had three other wives, and in his 70s, in the 1420s, he produced two sons who carried on the line. Now, the union between the two entities, the Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, was a very interesting one. Historians often call it a personal union, but it was more than that. At least it was more than that according to the Poles, who claimed that Lithuania had been incorporated into Poland. And the argument went on for a long time. The Lithuanians rejected this interpretation and said, no, we're the equal of the Poles. Now, the dynasty, the Jagiellon dynasty, played off the fact that they had hereditary rights to the Grand Duchy of Lithuania, and the senior member of the family became known as the Supreme Duke of Lithuania, not the Grand Duke. Sometimes there was a separate Grand Duke who was under them, who the Lithuanians gained the right in 1413 to elect that Grand Duke. So what tended to happen was that Lithuanians would elect somebody as Grand Duke. When the previous Supreme Duke died, he'd be in pole position. So if the Poles wanted the union to continue, they'd have to elect as their king the Lithuanian. And this went on really until the 1540s and 50s, when what turned out to be the last of the Jagiellons in the male line, Sigismund August, a very cultured man. His mother was Bona Sforza, an Italian princess, a very determined and interesting woman, Bona Sforza. Sigismund August had no legitimate heirs. Well, he had an unhappy first marriage to a Habsburg princess who died young. He then married her sister, and that was no more successful. They separated. He had mistresses, but he had no legitimate children. And in the context of a war against the Grand Duchy of Muscovy, what later became known as Russia, in the 1550s and so late 1550s and 1560s, the Grand Duke of Muscovy, who styled himself Tsar, was Ivan the Terrible, Ivan the Fourth. And he, like his forebears, claimed to rule over all Rus, which includes what is now modern Ukraine and modern Belarus. Except that modern Ukraine and modern Belarus had, since the 14th century, been parts of the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. They were ruled by the Lithuanians, and the elites had no interest, most of them, in being ruled by Muscovy. So they fought against the Muscovites, they resisted them. But over the course of the early 16th century, the Muscovites managed to conquer a fair bit of the eastern territories of Lithuania. Their big victory was in 1514 when they took Smolensk, which is now a West Russian city, but was up to 1514 part of the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. Now, Sigismund August worried that when he died, the union might fall apart, and the Lithuanians needed the Poles to resist Muscovy. So he, from above, started thinking in terms of making a closer union